Chapter 7. Where do aliens store things?
Give me your phone, Amy, the doctor said.
He took the phone, pressed it a few times, and then said,
Aha! Google really is as good as some of the alien technology. Here's Andrew Brown's address.
Half an hour later, they were walking down a street in North London looking for Andrew Brown's house.
How do we know that he'll be here, Doctor? Said Amy. It's a work day.
Her question was answered when they saw Andrew's flat. He was everywhere, on it and in it. There was an Andrew Brown on a ladder painting the windows. A different Andrew Brown was taking out the rubbish, and another Andrew Brown was cleaning the car. Inside the house, they could see an Andrew Brown cooking in the kitchen. One was walking up the path to the front door as another was walking out of the house.
Excuse me, said the doctor to the group of Andrew Browns.
Several of the Andrew Browns turned round at the same time. The Andrew Brown who was washing the car smiled.
I know you from the bank, don't I? He said. Dr. Schmidt from Zurich? How can I help you?
The other Andrew Browns went back to what they were doing.
That's clever, said the doctor to Amy. He's the earliest.
The others remember that he talked to me, so they don't have to listen to know what we say. The doctor caught Andrew's wrist and held Andrew's watch up to his ear.
How much time have you borrowed, Andrew? The doctor asked him.
Andrew stared at the doctor and then looked at Amy, who smiled. He took a deep breath.
A few days, I think. Not more than a week. And I paid a little bit back once, but... Yes, it doesn't feel nice when you pay it back, but it feels nice to borrow it. I totally understand, said the doctor. I think you've borrowed more time than that, Andrew.
Well, maybe 10 days, Andrew guessed.
Or a couple of weeks?
The doctor pressed a button on the watch and a message appeared. Borrowed time total, 9 days, 1 hour. Interest terms, 5 minutes per hour per hour. Total time owed, 55,000 years. Andrew Brown sat down on the ground, and all the other Andrew Browns around the house disappeared.
Ah, I see you'll decide not to borrow any more time, said the doctor. That's the right thing to do when you've already borrowed more than the lives of 500 people. Wait a minute.
The doctor put his head to one side as he had an idea.
You owe them more than it's possible to pay back. That's very interesting. I wonder if...
But I don't understand, Andrew said. Why didn't the watch tell me when I'd... He suddenly looked angry.
I only borrowed a few days. I don't believe you. But I can check it. If I pay back 1% of 1% of what I owe, I should pay back, what, 5 years?
5 and a half, said the doctor.
OK, said Andrew.
He pressed some buttons on the watch and moved a dial. Then he fell to his knees. Some grey appeared in his hair, and he had some new lines on his face. He looked at himself in his car's mirror.
Oh, no, said Andrew. You're right, but lots of people are using the watches. How can we stop this?
That, Andrew, is where you can help, said the doctor. And he began to tell Andrew what they knew.
So you see, finished the doctor,
The Mr. Symington and Mr. Blenkinsop aliens must be storing the time that they've taken from people somewhere. I think they're keeping it on Earth, probably in the bank.
I think that I know where it is, said Andrew. I found some documents when I was looking at some reports. I'll get the papers now.
They went into the house.
Ah, here they are,
Andrew said when he found the papers in his office upstairs. He pulled a piece of paper out and showed Amy and the doctor. It was a bill from a company called Little Green Storage for £454,909.
One of those bills comes every month, said Andrew. They're paid from a bank account that I've never seen on any other bills.
Amy took the piece of paper out of Andrew's hands and read it.
But that address can't be right, she said.
Why? Said the doctor.
Because that's the address of the Millennium Dome, said Amy. And there is no storage company there.
Actually, I've had a storage room there for thousands of years, replied the doctor. I've never stored anything in there, but I'm sure I'll store something useful in it one day. They took a taxi to the Millennium Dome and walked round the outside until they found a very small door. Above the door was a small sign with the words Little Green Storage written on it in black pen. It did not look very important. The doctor knocked on the door, which soon opened. Then a man's voice said,
Yes?
Hello, said the doctor. I'm the doctor, and these are my friends, Amy and Andrew, and I was wondering if I could...
Doctor, come in, said the voice. The things in your storage room are quite safe, I promise you.
Doctor, whispered Amy, you said that you haven't put anything in your storage room.
I haven't, he whispered back, but in the future I will. Amy did not know what the doctor meant. She followed him through the door onto a platform in the air. When Amy looked down, she saw hundreds of floors. Each floor was filled with doors to storage rooms.
Welcome back to Little Green Storage, said the voice.
Then a small man came forward and held out his hand to shake hands with the doctor. The doctor moved in a strange way as he shook the man's hand, and Amy felt sure something strange had happened.
You need to put your secret number in here, the man said, pointing to a keypad. And then you put your handprint on the door to open your storage room. I'm sure you remember.
Of course, said the doctor, and the man disappeared. Andrew, have you got that bill? Asked the doctor. Andrew Brown pulled the paper from his pocket. There was a long number under the name of the bank.
Okay, said the doctor. Let's put in the number and go to the Lexington Bank storage room.
Wait, doctor, said Amy. The small man said we need a handprint and we can't use yours to get into the bank storage.
You're quite right, Amy, the doctor replied. We need a handprint, and that could be a big problem.
Then he took a long silver thing out of his pocket.
But I stole the master key when I was shaking our friend's hand. Come on.
He turned back to the keypad and put in the number. The Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops had not been able to open the TARDIS door, so now they were going to try something different. Nadia did not hear them talk much because they seemed to know each other's thoughts.
We should, said one.
Yes, possibly,
said another.
Bring it then, said a third, and we'll...
Break the doors,
finished a fourth. A Mr. Symington brought something into the basement and put it carefully on the TARDIS door. It looked like a small glass half bubble. In the centre of the bubble, a dial was moving and numbers were counting down.
Stand back,
said a Mr. Blenkinsop, and all the Mr. Symingtons and Mr. Blenkinsops covered their ears with their hands. Suddenly, Nadia realised that the half bubble was a bomb.